It pleases me today to go into a restaurant and see black people come in, get the same food that I do, sit at the same table of applause for me, or with me if they're my friends. That pleases me. I don't see anything wrong with that. It bothers me that churches, that there are people who object to black people coming into the churches. That, to me, is not...
That's still today, even?
Yes, that is in the South today. You will find vestiges of that. I'm sorry, but now I happen to belong to a church that does not feel that way. I don't know. We don't have any black members. But the pastor who has just left made it clear that if a black person or person should come for membership, that they would have to be accepted. Because I think that's biblical. And I do have a religious side to my life that is the basis of it. And I have seen black people come into our church and have been on programs and that sort of thing, and they were treated wonderfully. But I have wondered if they would be accepted if they came for membership. I don't know. But I do know that there are Baptist churches that would not accept them. I think I can say that truthfully. I wouldn't name the churches, but I think that it would be true. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Was there ever a time where you felt like you should say anything out loud about what you were thinking, or was it shunned if you would have said anything about something you thought was unjust, like if you made a comment on it, or...
Well, I guess I'd have to say that I'd have to judge who would hear me.
Uh-huh.
In my home, I could speak freely. In my classroom, I've always spoken freely. Among friends, there might have been those who disagreed with me. But I've always been able to say what I thought, how I feel.
I heard Professor Jackson said the other day in my class that where he's from Clark County, and in school, when they were going to integrate the schools, one of the teachers had said, "I don't care if it's black or white, I'm going to teach the white students just the same as the black students," you know.
Yeah.
And one of the kids in the class happened to have a father who was real big, like superintendent of the school, something like that, and went home and told his dad that she had said that, and the superintendent, or whoever it was in the higher authority in the school system, had called her up, and she like gave him a good earful. That's what she did, basically, which I thought was like that kind of, especially that kind of fire from a woman, you just don't retort to. You know what I mean? Like, usually if a woman has something well thought out enough that she just blurts it out like that, and step by step, and she explains her argument, but with like, I don't know, I just would never dispute it, only because you can't.
I tell you something that has really, that the first time that I really, that it really came down to, in the classroom, what do you do with the black dialect in an English classroom? Say you're doing grammar, you're doing usage. What do you do? I remember we had meetings and seminars about what do you do with teaching black English. Do you accept it? Do you let the children go ahead with that dialect?
So you grade them a little differently,
or
give them a handicap? Not a handicap, but like
very
a...
Well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know how I feel. At that point, I didn't. I hesitated because I didn't want to make them feel inferior.
Uh-huh.
But now I know that there are levels of speech, levels of conversation, levels of usage, and there's a standard level that you should be able to use in a formal situation.
Mm-hmm.
There is an informal level, and you can use a dialect, and I think they should be allowed to do it, but then I think they ought to know that this is standard. So I know now what how I will approach it, but at that point, there was confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember teachers discussing it, and it was particularly relevant to me in the classroom.
Kind of like how the SAT is under scrutiny sometimes for the way it's worded, like you weren't sure how to go about teaching the students to
be
a certain way.
Well, to say IB's. IB's absent yesterday, which is black dialect. Uh-huh. And I understand it came over here from Africa, that is part of their dialect. Uh-huh. And you don't want to completely erase it, but you say, look, this in English, this is the standard way. This is what we say. If you speak this way, you're using a dialect. Just as you have in the rural Alabama. I done so-and-so. That's not standard. But what's the difference in calling attention to that and calling attention to the black child, which says, I be's here, or I be's there, or he do?
Mm-hmm. There's really no difference.
There's no difference.
Okay.
And if you approach it in that manner, then the black child has no more reason to be hurt with you than the white child.
Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, you sort of have to find a balance with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Did you ever teach for a black school?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Have you ever offered a job for one?
No.
Mm-hmm. The black schools, I think this is the way it worked. When there started to be cases about upholding Plessy versus Ferguson, making separate but equal doctrine, Alabama had set forth a bunch of, they increased the black teacher salaries, they increased the black
They started
out
like separate but equal.
Yeah, that's what they wanted to do, was basically match that, and that way there would be no reason to integrate.
Okay. That was one way of getting around the issue.
Uh-huh, exactly.
But the thing about it, they were not always equal. It was just, it was a fact.
Uh-huh.
That the buildings and facilities just didn't come up sometimes.
Yeah.
But that to me was a way of skirting the issue, getting around the issue.
And a lot of the lawmakers at that time,
yeah,
they were all about that. There was not really more than one or two who wouldn't have just kept it to themselves,
yeah,
that would have said, hey, why don't we just check this out for a little while and try it out or see, you know, what would really happen. It's just they were so staunch on the way that they wanted to be one way about it. Were there any area antics in the Gadsden area?
Any what?
Antics, like political antics that you would recall, and luckily for reputation's sake, never made the national headlines. Anything on the race issue?
I don't recall one.
Uh-huh. Seems like everything was made into like a big limelight spectacle.
That would be peculiar to Gadsden. I don't recall. Mm-hmm. Now, there might have been at the time, and it could have slipped my mind, but I don't recall any one issue that would have made national headlines.
Okay. Could you recall some of the governors you voted for at the time of desegregation, bombings, buses, boycotted, burnings?
Right.
And do you sometimes feel that in any way that the violence... Did you ever feel that the violence would stop, or, you know, because it seemed like it was like a chain of events and it just kept occurring. And
I remember very well being in Europe when the Chicago riots and all of that erupted over here. I was in Europe that summer, mm-hmm, and the headlines there, and that was a terrible thing to be out of your country. And nothing like that had ever happened in America, in the United States before. And it was a terrible feeling. No, I never felt that it would go on and on forever. I didn't know what horrible things would transpire before it came to an end. But I remember the horror of that. That was not necessarily just the South. But many people, many black people in the South went north when that happened, and I guess that had something to do with it. But it was a horrible time. It was 67, 68, when were those riots? 68 or was it 67? I just remember I was in Europe at the time.
The one in Chicago?
Yeah. The Chicago riots. Well, Well, I don't think the year is important.
Yeah.
It was the late 60s.
Okay.
And I just remember the terrible feelings I had.
Was it because you're from America, or just that it was even touching?
Well, it was terrible to have it anywhere.
Uh-huh.
But it was my home. It was my country.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, my mind goes back to Selma. And Selma is a... I think these things at Selma, yes, it was wrong. Yes, there were things that shouldn't have happened. But many times they were blown out of proportion. I tell you another incident that happened. You remember the three white boys that came down from somewhere in the north to Mississippi in order to help register voters, and those three boys were killed? Now that was a terrible thing. They were white boys, and they came down during that era to help register black people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of the thing. That was when, I've forgotten the date for that, but I remember going to a teacher's meeting, and we had a lady from New York who knew the mother of one of those boys. And I remember her talking about it. And I remember reading about that and how horrible it was. I couldn't believe that a fellow countryman could do something like that, or could participate in an organization like the Ku Klux Klan. That bothers me. It has always bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that stands out quite vividly in my mind.
The KKK?
Well, that and this situation in Mississippi.
Uh-huh. Did you ever hear about the boy who was from Chicago who went down to visit his uncle? And he had sharecropper in Mississippi. And the young boy, and a couple of his, you know, cronies of his age went to a local store, Five and Dime or something. And he went in and bought a couple cents worth of gum. And when he was leaving, the black boy said to the store owner's wife, who was really pretty or whatever, see you later, baby, something like that. And when her husband returned home, and her husband, they didn't, in the book they explained it like it was his brother-in-law's sister or something, whatever, but the two men went over to where the boy was staying and told the guy who was sharecropper, he said, you shut up or you know, you won't live to see 65. They took the boy and they beat, you know, the crap out of him, and they shot him in the head. They tied him to a fan, like an electrical fan, and they dropped him in a river. And like 3 days later, some boys were fishing and found him, and he only had half a head. And his mom made it an open casket in Chicago, and there was like national headlines for that too.
Well, I don't remember that incident, but I have no doubt that that happened, because there is in the South, I don't know what it is, but that protection of white womanhood and the Southern male. I'll say it this way, that rural redneck Southerner, that kind of personality is the kind that would do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's the protection of the female that is there. I don't think that's their motive as well as much as racism is.
Might be the male ego there.
Yes, the male ego. But that has always bothered me too.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember that incident. But I don't doubt that happened.
So interracial dating, then, that's fine.
No, that's not fine. That's not
for you. It's fine for them. You would think it's inappropriate, or they think.
Now,
it's
what are you asking?
Okay, for interracial dating, then, for you, you don't see a problem with it, probably not, or you do?
I don't know because I didn't have that. How can you answer that question without it? I don't know how it would feel, because I just never did. I don't know.
Maybe when you were being courted, the idea would never come up that you would date a black guy.
No, it never did, and I didn't think anything about it. And because I was not that age and the opportunity was not there, it just never has been a part of my life.
Uh-huh.
I've never tried to judge another person. And his choice. That's not my job. That's not my... I don't have an option there. So,
Okay.
I'm not trying to skirt the issue. That's just not been a part of me. I don't know.
I don't take it as that.
The only thing I say with that is marriage is hard enough to... Marriage is an institution that's hard enough to live happily in without bringing into it major differences in the first place. And that would be my objection. I wouldn't care any more for a black or an oriental or that. It wouldn't be race with me as much as it would be those differences that are going to cause day-to-day rifts.
Mm-hmm. Like like you have a cultural difference or
right.
Ideological difference.
That's
on
right.
Things.
Now
okay.
Those things, I think, can split a marriage. And they're built in when you mate with a person who is different in cultural background in any way.
Uh-huh.
Because two people who are the same race have some of the same religious beliefs, some of the same educational background. You're still going to have differences. And depending upon the temperament of the person, those can be issues that divide you. And if you bring in something as different in race, and I'm not talking about just black and white, I'm talking about any of them, I'd have to know a person a long time, and I would have to think about it a long time. Because I believe in marriage as an institution that is permanent, and one in which you bring up children. And I wouldn't want to bring in a ready-made trouble.
Okay.
To begin with.
Yeah.
Now that's the way I feel about it.
I understand. It's like you would start off on the wrong foot, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.